Don't have time to read that research paper you saved? Chelsea and Olivia want to help you out. We know how it is. That's why we read it for you. Welcome to the Exercise Science Too Long Didn't Read podcast.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, we have a very interesting topic that we're talking about today.
Do we? Do tell.
We're going to talk about vegan versus omnivores and how it affects your performance with resistance training and the other outcomes.
As the little boy in Jurassic Park said, he's a veggie eater.
Yeah.
Or veggie sore. He called it a veggie sore.
So are you a veggie sore or a meaty sore?
Meaty sore. I am definitely a meaty sore. Mm. All that aside, I respect the vegetarian viewpoint and lifestyle. More power to them. I just really like bacon. Even my poor lactose intolerant future husband likes ice cream now and again. I don't think I could give it up. I did go vegan 3 days a week back in the day in college. I was in the initial stage of my fitness journey and realizing that I did not have the stick figure that I am being able to eat a sleeve of Oreos in one sitting as I was used to. So I said, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. And I will say that it forced me to really focus on labels. It forced me to really focus on what I was eating every day. I had to plan out what I was going to eat every day much more carefully. Things you wouldn't expect, like spaghetti sauce has Parmesan in it. So it's not vegan. You can't have that. And definitely increased my vegetable intake, especially per meal. So even to this day, like I feel off if I don't have a vegetable with what I'm eating.
I do too. I will say that the taste of meat is not as appealing to me as I'm getting older.
Really?
Interesting. I'm eating
all meat or red meat specifically? Or
all meat. It just doesn't taste very good to me. So I've been eating less and less of it. So I've been trying to find other ways to get my protein in, and it's been hard. I've been eating a lot more tofu. I love tofu. It's delicious.
See, that's interesting to me because I feel like a lot of, unless you're getting like, have you tried good like grass-fed beef and stuff like that?
Well, it
to see if that
makes
a difference.
Not all meat tastes bad to me. It's like I still eat it. It's just
you don't crave it.
Yeah, I don't crave
it. Okay, that makes sense.
I mean, I'll crave a good burger.
I say supposedly tofu tastes like whatever you cook it in. Anyhow, omnivore versus veggievore. I'm just kidding. Vegan versus omnivore. I am definitely in the omnivore camp. I am not a full carnivore. I'm definitely an omnivore.
If I wanted to put in the work to be vegan, I would do it, but I'm lazy.
Well, you know, we've got a lot going on.
So this paper is...
There's a paper?
There is a paper!
My favorite! So tell me about this paper.
Okay, so the paper is by, again, if I pronounce the name incorrectly, please forgive me. These are all hard names again. Hevia Lorraine, Guilano, Longobardi. I'm so sorry.
Let me give it a try. We've got a hyphenated one, Hevia Lorraine, and then we have Guilano, and then we have what appears to be Longobardi et al.
Okay.
That's not a name. That just means that there's some more that for whatever reason they decided weren't important enough to list.
No, that's just the way that the reference is. This paper was published in 2021.
We have another new baby fresh out.
Me
gotta
too.
Love you.
Wow. New baby fresh
I'm
out.
I'm telling you, man. COVID year, quarantine. People like, they got some work done.
High protein plant-based diet versus a protein-matched omnivorous diet. to support resistance training adaptations. It's a comparison between habitual vegans and omnivores.
Hmm.
It was published in Sports Med, like I said, in 2021.
Cool. So protein matched omnivores. So they just tried to make sure the omnivore amount of protein was equal to how much the high protein vegan diet.
We'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
We will.
I'll wait.
Good question.
ADHD brain with all the questions all the time, jumping ahead.
You did jump ahead.
Oh, I will calm down, I promise.
So the purpose of this paper was to look at the source of protein in the diet based on plants or mixed with meats on the outcomes of resistance training in young men.
Men again?
Yep.
I'm telling you, there's something to this.
It's the like tradition. Almost.
I need a paper on why men only, young men are the preferred test group.
Well, a long time ago, 100 years ago, it was white men.
Rude,
right? So now we've graduated to men. So let's get this going, ladies.
Ugh.
Anyway. So what they did in the study participants consisted of vegan and omnivore volunteers, and they must have been at least in that specific diet for 1 year in order to participate.
Okay, fair.
And their diet was assessed with 6 24-hour dietary recalls that were not on back-to-back days to assess their protein intake and their overall caloric intake and their just diet in general.
So they just had them track and then report out what they ate.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dietary recall.
Yeah. So they wrote down everything.
You know, it would have been better that I would have volunteered for is, hey, come stay in this hotel and we will have chef curated meals for you.
That would be fantastic.
Sign me up for that study.
If you ask
me.
So
there's our female version of this study. Put us up at, I don't know, an Omni, an Aloft, a Hojo, something.
Hilton is fine too.
Sure. All of them. Anyway, you know which ones we probably wouldn't want to stay up. Put me up at a hotel and then have a chef. You can control what I eat, when I eat it, and it would be delicious.
Mm-hmm. So they did 6 24-hour dietary recalls before the intervention started in order to get their overall diet assessment and their protein totals.
Oh, so they were just gathering the baseline of how do you mm-hmm. eat normally.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then their nutrition was assessed at baseline with blood samples. So they looked at their overall, like, what their blood work looked like, vitamin levels and things like that.
Okay.
So each participant's diet was then adjusted to a 1.6 gram per kilogram per day with protein supplementation of soy or whey protein shakes during a 12-week intervention. So the goal was for everyone to consume 1.6 grams per kilogram of body weight per day for the 12 weeks. So,
well, there's your longer than 6 week trial you've been wanting to see.
Yes, finally I got a 12 week trial. And so that's another reason why they got the baseline 24 hour recalls is because they needed to see what their initial protein level was going to be at so they knew how much to give them to supplement.
They're not asking them to make necessarily huge changes. Like you can still sort of eat how you've been eating. Mm-hmm. However, we need you to increase or decrease this much.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, and then there were more 24-hour recalls every 4 weeks during the 12 weeks. And participants were asked to refrain from consuming anything that may affect their performance during assessments such as supplements or caffeine, nicotine, things like that. So we have had another study that we've looked at.
12 weeks with no coffee?
No, just for training.
Oh.
Training days.
So no 5-hour energy before you go work out. Okay.
Right.
That's acceptable.
Especially at the pre and post participation days where they did all the testing. So they did DEXA scans, which is a scan that scans your bone mineral density and your muscle mass and your fat mass. And they did ultrasounds of the muscles. They also did a muscle biopsy to determine the muscle fiber type in the cross-sectional measurements.
Did they have a gender reveal party?
I mean, they might as well have been male would be the result, because that's what all the studies are on is males.
Well, I don't know. You're ultrasounding muscle tissue. I don't know what you're going to find in there. I mean, if this is an episode of the Magic School Bus, you're probably going to find a bus full of kids and a bus and a lizard.
In addition to those tests, they also did one rep max isotonic leg press.
Mm-hmm.
The researcher that conducted the exercise programming was blinded to the two groups. So when a participant came in to do an exercise program with the researcher, they didn't know if they were an omnivore or a vegan.
Mm. So they were just controlling everybody doing the same exercise without...
Right.
Okay.
Make sure there was not an accidental research bias.
Hmm. Good job.
Yeah. Kudos to the researchers.
Your attention to detail and accuracy.
So exercises for the lower body were performed twice per week for 12 weeks. Training exercises included an incline leg press and leg extensions, among other exercises for the lower body.
So very hammy-centric, it seems.
Yeah, the hammies are very... Oh, no. Leg extension is quad.
Oh, I was thinking of the one, I was thinking of the leg curl machine. Listen, I've been working out at home for a very long time. It's been a minute since I've used an actual fancy gym machine.
Same movement, resistance is on the other side of the leg.
Yeah. No, yeah. I can picture you sit in the chair and you have the cushiony thing on your shins and you lift up. Yeah. I was picturing the one where you lay down and you've got your thing hooked in your knee pit and you're using your glutey.
Yes.
Your hammy and your glutey. That would be like a really awkward but also kind of funny like comic strip for a, I don't know, kinesiology major, exercise physiology major. The Adventures of Hammy and Glutey.
No, it's Glutey Maximus. And his sidekick, Glutey Minimus. Anyway, if you want to send me that comic, I would greatly appreciate it. Someone out there.
Yeah, I want to see capes and masks and superhero adventures.
And muscles.
Of Hammy and Glutey.
Just don't make them look weird.
Or her version, Glutey Max and Glutey Min.
Anyway, so the exercise programming, their progressions, what they did... For the sets and reps, they changed every 4 weeks. So the first 4 weeks, they did two sets of 12 to 15 repetitions. And then 4 to 8 weeks, they did three sets of 10 to 12 repetitions. And then 8 to 12 weeks, they did four sets of 8 to 10 repetitions.
I think I've done this workout.
Right.
It's called a Chalene Extreme.
That's the right way to do it. Resistance was progressed or increased based on if the participants completed 1 to 2 additional repetitions on 2 consecutive sets. Then they were able to increase their weight.
Bonus reps.
Oh, yeah. There were 38 people in this study. Mm. So the participants were broken into groups of 19 and 19. With an average age of 26 years old, so a little bit older than the other research studies that we've been finding.
Sure.
Both groups were comparable in physical features such as height, weight, lean leg mass, and their isotonic strength with the one rep max. The amount of supplemental protein was higher in the vegan group at 0.79 grams per kilogram per day versus the omnivores, who was 0.52 grams per kilogram per day.
Hmm. I wonder what. So that was when they asked them about what their normal eating habits were?
Yep.
This was the adjustment.
Yes.
This is, we need you to supplement with this much more.
Yes.
Oh.
So this was not their actual consumption, because their actual consumption was the 1.6.
Gotcha.
So in reality, if you did the math,
an average omnivore diet naturally includes more protein, mm-hmm. so their supplemented amount was less.
Yes.
Than a vegan group. Okay.
Yes.
Well, good.
So both groups significantly increased their lean muscle mass, weight, and lean mass in the legs. The vegetarian group increased from 18.9 to 20.1 kilograms, whereas the omnivores increased from 19 kilograms to 20.3 kilograms. So basically, the increase in protein made them more equal.
So consuming equal amounts of protein, regardless of the source of the protein, also equalized their results?
Yes.
So just based off that, it sounds like the conclusion is we still need protein to grow muscle mass.
We do.
But it just doesn't matter.
The source doesn't matter. So there were no between group differences from pre to post. So both groups significantly increased their one rep max from pre to post, but there is no difference between the two groups. Both vegan and omnivores significantly increased their one rep max. So they increased it from, the vegans increased from 258 one rep max to 354 kilograms. And the omnivores increased from 261 to 383 kilograms.
You know, I think that makes sense, though. The way our bodies process and break down food, fuel, whatever, into those, you know, bite-sized molecular things, it seems to fit.
That it does.
I mean, certain kind of sugar is the same kind of sugar, whether it comes from an apple or a potato. Like, fructose is fructose, no matter where it comes from. So you're going to, your body's going to process it the same way and then therefore use it the same way. So that seems to make sense.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is also maybe a little gross, but you know, there was this shift in, with pregnant women in the 80s or whatever, you were told, you know, eat for two. You're eating for two.
Mm-hmm.
You have to eat for two. But now it's you eat for you, because the baby's going to take whatever it needs from you. So you are eating to make sure that the rest of your bodily functions can continue while also providing the necessary nutrients to the growing baby. So I wonder if your muscles are sort of the same way. So the muscle, given the same exercise being done in both groups, the muscle needs, the protein needs of those muscle fibers and those bodily functions that enable strength increases and new muscle tissue to be developed. Maybe it works off sort of the same mentality. It's going to take what it's going to take. And so it doesn't necessarily matter what you fuel it with. I wonder if the amount, how they came up with that amount of protein per kilogram of body weight per day.
It's the recommended amount per day for active individuals.
But why?
Research.
I'm going to need you to find me that paper and explain to me how they learned. I mean, I guess would they have just done a similar study but varied the amounts of protein between each group and then measured their strength increases?
Maybe. That would be more of like a dietitian-related research paper, and I'm not really sure how they do their research.
I'm fascinated by all of this stuff, clearly. It That's just good. Gets my little wheels turning. Again, all the questions. My poor parents. I know for sure I was a why kid. But why?
Oh, yeah. I know I was.
But why? I just want to understand. All right. Well, so we've decided that it doesn't matter what the source of the protein is. What was their official conclusion?
Their official conclusion is that with a high protein diet, It increases hypertrophy and performance, but it does not matter what the protein source is.
Cool.
So basically, our conclusion was their conclusion. What's good is that the whole point is the important part is to eat high protein. So if you're a vegan, you need to focus on protein if you want muscle and performance. If you're an omnivore, you need to focus on protein for muscle and performance.
All right, bring on my lab created meat. But I think this is also good too, because again, my fiance is lactose intolerant, and there's plenty of whey proteins that will say lactose free on the bottle. They still make him sick.
Oh, yeah, because it's a whey.
Yeah. So I found this company, quick plug, True Nutrition, truenutrition.com. I forget how I found it. I don't remember if it was recommended to me or I saw it in an article or if I Googled it. I don't remember. But I just remember I found them and I've been buying their protein powders for, at this point, several years. I might have even found them before I moved back home from school in 2010. I can't remember, but I found them. And what has been really great is you can get your own. You can buy, they have premixes, and it tells you everything that's in it, protein content, carb to whatever ratio, sugar, all of it. But you can customize your flavors. They have sugar-free flavors. And it's low overhead, so it's not super expensive. I mean, I can get stuff, depending on what you get, I can get stuff cheaper than I can a jar of whatever at Walmart or, you know, Amazon or whatever store. So pretty cool. And what's been great too is now I can make custom completely dairy-free mixes for my soon-to-be husband, and they don't make his stomach hurt.
That's great.
The fun part is, playing with, pea protein texturally is different. We've kind of figured out.
And it tastes different.
Yeah. So we've played with heavy, regular, or light on the flavor. So you can have a stronger flavor mixed in. What else do they have? They have a pumpkin protein. They have a cranberry protein. They have...
That all sounds good.
All kinds of add-ins, super greens and alfalfa. They have a completely, I haven't been brave enough to try it, but it's a beef protein powder. It's not, plant or it's milk. It's beef. Yeah. And I forget, it says on there somewhere where it comes from. But anyway, if you want to check it out, I do have a coupon code.
10% off. Woo-hoo.
So if you guys are interested in trying it out, I actually signed up for their affiliate program back in 2018, long before this podcast was even a glimmer. And I don't know when you started thinking about wanting to do this, but long before I knew it was going to be a thing. It was just a way to help promote a business that I thought was doing good things. I also gave me a lifetime 10% discount. So the coupon code, it's just go to truenutrition.com. You can use the coupon code CHL158. They do good work. I like what they're about. They've got oatmeal mixes now and I think a smoothie thing, but their custom mix generator is super easy to use. You can compare it's got a nutrition label that will pre-populate as you change your mix.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. So if you are someone who is training on a very specific carb to protein to whatever ratio, or you need, they've got additional add-ins for vitamins or protein enzyme, carb enzyme stuff that's supposed to help you digest those things better. There's a multivitamin. There's, I don't know, all kinds of stuff you can add in now. So
now I'm thinking I'm going to buy some when I run out of my protein powder.
You should. All kinds of stuff as well. So yeah, go check them out.
I will.
Good job, the guys at True Nutrition. I've enjoyed your products for years. now. Hopefully, I hope others can as well.
That's what I was thinking. Hopefully others will as well.
And if you hate it, then I'm sorry, and that's fine.
Well, thank you all for listening today. We talked a lot about nutrition. We talked about how protein is protein, and it helps us with our performance and our muscles.
So last week, we got a study that we could throw at people at the gym or parties when they're trying to tell us that we're doing something wrong in the gym. And now we have another one that says, it doesn't matter. I can gain muscle on a vegan diet as much as you can on a meaty diet. So, all right, guys, hit us up on the socials everywhere. Questions, comments, advice, all the things. You know what to do. Leave a message at the beep. You know what to do.
Beep. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening to the Exercise Science TLDR podcast show. If you want to hear more from us, please write a review and subscribe. Join us online at exerciscienctldr.com. Remember, if it's too long and you didn't read it, we read it so you don't have to.